Hello, everyone. This is Mike Garcia in the WBHF studio here in downtown Cartersville, and I am joined by the incumbent in the Bartow County School Board District 2 race, Davis Nelson. Davis, thank you so much for coming in today.
I appreciate the opportunity to come.
For those who don't know, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Okay. Again, my name is Davis Nelson. I've lived in Bartow County all my life. I serve on the school board for District 2, and my whole career has been in education.
Talk about any gap from when you were a kindergarten student to present day that you were not involved in education.
Well, I can't find one of those gaps because I went straight after I got out of the service. After graduating, I went to college, and then as soon as I graduated from college, I started teaching first grade classroom and then progressed from there to assistant principal, principal, central office curriculum director, school superintendent. Then had the opportunity to go to Atlanta and be deputy state school superintendent for Georgia, and then went across the street and worked for two governors over education. And I've worked with Kennesaw University and worked with Berry College now, so my whole life has been revolved around education.
Now, you've been on the school board for how long?
I'm finishing up my second term.
Okay. If you could, go ahead and talk about your proudest successes thus far on the school board.
Well, a lot of the difficulty we've had to deal with has been a reduction of funds. And of course, when you have a reduction of funds, when 85% to 90% of your money is spent on salaries, it impacts people. So when I came on the board, we had to start cutting almost $8 million out of the budget. And we tried to do that gracefully by when somebody retired, to try to collapse positions. But it did impact people's jobs and lives because we had to reduce the funding. And then to turn around after we had worked hard to do that as a school system, to have the state then turn and add almost $8 million more to us in expenses for non-certified employees' insurance and retirement and those kind of things. So it really ate up the money that we had reduced trying to get the budget and the millage rate down. The other things that's gone on is trying to improve the instructional program. We've done a lot of work with that, looking at technology. Our children this day and time are far different than when we went to school. Technology is their life. So we've tried through grants, and we've received two great grants to help provide the technology along with the 1% splash sales tax. So that's helped us with that in trying to provide tools out there for teachers and students. Teachers to help students learn better. We have worked on construction of schools, continuing to make sure our children are out of portable classrooms and into safe environments. We've worked on school safety. It's been a myriad of topics that we've worked on in the past 8 years.
Is there anything that has happened during that time that you look back and you say, If I wish I could take that back? Any kind of shortcomings?
Well, anybody that says they don't ever make any errors, I think you need to question whether you can believe them or not. A lot of times on the school board, you're faced with making decisions based on the information that you have at the time you're having to make that decision. And sometimes more information comes later than when it would have been great to have had it when you were making those decisions. I vote based on what's best for kids. And that's not always popular with adults. But the only reason I serve on the board is my commitment to helping teachers help children be successful. And I don't take any pay for it. All my pay goes to the Education Foundation, which helps teachers help children. But I can't think of any particular issue. There are things you wish didn't happen. But when you have thousands of employees, you're going to have issues to arise that you wish didn't. But again, you have to make the best decision for boys and girls. And a lot of times as a board member, you can't tell the public why you made that decision because it's private information and you can't reveal that about the employee that it impacts. They can say anything, but you can't defend your decision. You have to just move along and accept what comes from it. And that's what a lot of people don't realize about serving on the school board, is that your decisions, every decision you make, makes somebody happy and somebody sad. And you just have to understand that it is not a stepping stone to another political office. If you think that, you're going to be tragically misinformed.
According to the Governor's Office of Student Achievement, the 2017 College and Career Ready Performance Index, or CCRPI, shows the Bartow County school system only higher than 40% of the schools throughout the entire state. Also, in comparison to the seven counties that share a border with us, Cherokee, Cobb, Floyd, Gordon, Paulding, Pickens, and Polk, Bartow's CCRPI is lower than all of them. So before I delve into those scores, how important of an indicator would you say the CCRPI is as far as how successful a school system is in educating children?
Well, I think all data is important, but I think you have to look at all data. I don't think anybody would be proud that any test performance that your students perform on, that they're not performing where they ought to be. When we saw the scores, and we saw them when everybody else saw them this year, we asked that there be some kind of a plan put together for how we move forward. And the current administration started on that. The new superintendent walked in the door. He had studied the data, and he'll be up and going to help schools, help children. So I'm excited about that. I think you have to look at the data and know that that's one of the many things you have to look at to help children improve. I think that's what we're trying to do. Will it change overnight? No. You can't flip a switch and tomorrow it's all fixed because it's a progressive problem. And we have got to find where the problem's starting and deal with it from that point forward. You can't just address the high school. You've got to go back to middle school and elementary school and see where we've got problems from. Of course, on behalf of teachers, you know, the criteria for which we're measuring kids has changed in the past 5 or 6 years, probably 5 or 6 times. So it's hard for them to keep up with the changing test and the changing measurement. But again, we have to look at more than just those measurements. We have to look at how are our children performing from day to day, not wait till the test, but how are they performing from day to day and month to month, and what do we need to be doing to fix those problems before they become major problems?
Now, my two little ones are still not in the school system yet. I've been speaking to parents, and I've been hearing from some of them that there so much emphasis has been put on the testing that sometimes the kids get stressed out, and it seems like for a month in advance they're preparing and getting hammered down to, you know, this is important. So what kind of balance would you give the importance of making sure the kids test well on the CCRPI versus actual instruction of information that they will retain throughout the rest of their lives?
You can't wait till right before the testing and drill kids. Now, do you do some reminder kind of things, refresher kind of information? Yeah, but you can't do it then. You're supposed to have been doing it prior to that. So what you have to do is know what your children are supposed to understand in your grade level. Not necessarily all that they're supposed to be tested over, but what are they supposed to learn in your grade level? And then you as a school and teachers work to make sure your children are ready for that performance evaluation. So you evaluate before that. You start evaluating your kids. When I was a teacher, I started the first week or two of school assessing where are they, because they come from varied backgrounds, different schools. Where are they? What have I got to do to get my kids to where they're supposed to be at the end of this school year? So you have to plan way in advance, not wait till the test time and drive them crazy and yourself crazy.
Hot button topic lately has been school security. So explain to the voters, what has the school system done thus far well in that aspect?
Well, fortunately, we have had a school system security force for a long time. The other thing that we've done is put our security force through a training sessions with the GBI and local law enforcement, where they actually go and have gone into each of our schools, not when children are there, so that all law enforcement understands how that school's set up, what are the entry points, those kind of things, so that if something happens, our local law enforcement and the GBI can be assistance to us and not walking in blindly. And those have gone wonderfully well. Our folks have to be trained on a regular basis, and we ensure that that's done. The schools have done measures where they know the process, the staff knows the process, if there's an emergency. We have a system in each of our schools now that is like a 911, where a button can be mashed and a message goes out immediately to the staff, but also to local law enforcement that there's a problem in the schools. It's essentially a lockdown. We've had all the exit doors fixed, where you have to have a pass to come through. But understand, in many of our schools, they walk from one building to another building. If they go out on the playground, you know, they're exposed. We've got fencing on just about all of our properties. The main entrance is open for the public to come in. In most of our schools, we've gotten it where they walk into a lobby and they still can't physically access individuals. They have to be buzzed in to get into any other part of the school. Some of the rest of them are not that way yet, and the plans are to get all of our schools secured at that main entrance there so they can't access. It's a continual thing that you have to address. You have to keep your staff alert to know what to look for and what to expect and how to protect your children and yourself.
Why or why not are you in favor of arming teachers and faculty?
Well, there are school people that know how to use a gun. That's been for years. The problem I see is that you put guns in teachers and staff members' hands. You've just made available to students more guns to access. They don't have to bring them in anymore. There's one in the building, and you can't keep that secret. People are going to find out who has a gun, and they're going to know where they keep it. And my fear is a couple of kids downing a staff member, taking the gun away from him and shooting that staff member and other kids. So I don't know that that fixes the problem. I do know that we've got to find better ways to protect our kids and staff. This environment has changed. It's not the same when we went to school. There's not respect anymore for anybody. But I just don't believe that putting a gun in people's hands that have not been trained in law enforcement is the answer. Are there ways that we can maybe access more school police and work it out where the sheriff's department is in and out of the schools on a regular basis? I think that door is wide open, and the sheriff's department has been, along with the local police departments like Emerson and the others, have been very open to what can they do to be there to assist. And I think we need to go down those roads first before we just start putting guns in everybody's hands.
With the issue of mental health, as a school board member, what recommendations could you make as far as making sure teachers and other classmates can detect behavior warning signs that could indicate that a student wants to do harm?
I think it's through training, helping them to understand what those characteristics are. Sometimes they are hidden very well. If you remember a while back, there was a school employee that brought a gun to school to prove a point. That's a dangerous point to prove. But you have to just do as much training with your staff in looking at what those characteristics are, not only of adults, but of children that might be apt to hit that breaking point and do something dangerous. And always be observant. You don't have to be paranoid, but you have to be observant as you are in your classroom, as you're walking the halls, around the building. You just have to pay attention to what's going on. And if something appears wrong or strange, you get it to the right authority so they can check it out immediately.
The Bartow County school system is pretty much like every other school system in the state of Georgia, in which money is tight, as you've discussed. The good news is that the state has announced that it will fully fund Quality Basic Education, or QBE, next year, which will equate to an extra $1.3 million for the school system in Bartow County. Now, the state has also mandated the 4% increased contribution to the teacher's retirement system, which will cost the Bartow County school system an extra $2.8 million. There has been a strong push in Bartow County for senior property tax exemptions from the schools. So, how would the schools be able to do that and make up for the lost revenue?
Well, the easy political answer is say, yeah, let's give it all. That's not the reason I serve on the board. As I told you earlier, I'm there for children first. But I do recognize that we've got a lot of seniors that are struggling to hold on to their homes. Now, their homes are not $500,000 million homes. I think that we can plan and organize ourselves where we could increase that $40,000 exemption that we already give. Understand, we give that. Our adjoining system does not, and have given that for years. You can raise that up some, and that will help a whole lot of seniors that need help. The problem is we're sitting at almost 19 mills out of a maximum of 20 mills on our millage rate. And our hopes were that we could begin to lower that down so that it helps everybody. So I think you have to look at both issues at the same time. And then you have to look at how can we adapt our budget and financing in a way that would allow us to make some of those cuts. Again, not knowing next year what the state's going to do to us again. See, that's the very difficult thing is planning and knowing from year to year what are they going to give to you next year that you've got to come up with the money for. The 1.2 or 1.5 was great. I've heard people say it was going to be $10 million. That's laughable. But I think we can take that portion and use that wisely to help people. Can we fix the problem? No. There's not enough money there to do it. But can we start a process? And that's been my stand from the beginning when it was first proposed to give all seniors 100% exemption. Let's phase it in. Let's start working to phase something in that will help them but not devastate the education for boys and girls. And we all have a responsibility to have an educated population. These young people that are in middle school and high school are going to take care of you and I. And I want them to be knowledgeable. I want them to be able to hold a job. I want them to be capable. And that comes with having an education. And sad to say, most of what you spend on education is salary because it's people helping children, and it is a people business. I think we have to do something, and I think we have to be conscious about trying to do that the right way and not devastate the school system at the same time. And I think there's a workable plan out there. I proposed it, but a lot of people want all or none, and that's what we've been given since this first came out is all or none. And I've asked, can we piecemeal it in and start helping people, but not necessarily the whole ball of wax at one time.
Now to go ahead and play devil's advocate, and I'm still 3 decades away from being a senior citizen, but as you were saying, the youth of today are going to be the business leaders of tomorrow and the workers of tomorrow that senior citizens will have to rely upon in whatever capacity, accounting, something to do with municipalities, whatever. You're going to have to interact with these kids. So is it not in their best interest to make sure that the schools are adequately funded?
Absolutely. And I think if you follow anything that I've said and others have said for years is that this funding issue's got to get balanced out. It can't be bouncing all over the board year after year and money sent other directions that should be placed in the public schools. Now, if we've got schools or school systems that's not performing, then let's fix them. But let's don't jerk the money away from them and then expect them to be able to fix the problem. A lot of times there are more issues to the problem than did Johnny get taught something? Is Johnny being fed? Is Johnny being looked after? You know, the schools this day and time have become the parents in many cases. And so if you follow a teacher's job in a day, you will see that it involves a whole lot that has nothing to do with teaching a child how to read or do math. And that consumes time. I do think that we can do some things to help seniors. Can we do it all? I don't think so. Could it be done? Absolutely. You know, you could get a board that votes 5-0. Yes, let's give them complete senior tax exemption. The legislature could take that and run with it because they're protected because the board voted that way. They carry it and put it on the ballot, and if the citizens voted in, then you have what you have. And the school system has to figure out how to fix the situation. That becomes very similar to what the state's done. You're taking away, but you're not giving anything to replace it.
And then the last question on this particular topic, what would you say is more important? An increase in teachers' salaries in order to keep the good teachers from leaving this school system, or the senior tax exemption to help seniors on the fixed income?
That's not a simple answer. A lot of times teachers leave because of what they're having to deal with. It's not always money. A lot of times it is because they can go to just about any of our adjoining systems and make a whole lot more money than they make in Bartow County and stay in their same house. I think that the issue is not one against the other. The issue is how can you move both forward at the same time, and that takes planning, that takes being willing to give and take as a board and as our legislative delegation, and then ultimately our citizens to step back and say, is it just about me, or are there other people that this is going to impact, and is there a way that we can phase it in and people be able to adjust and make a difference with it?
On teachers, besides money, as you said, there's other things that they go through. As a school board member, in what other ways could you better support teachers?
We don't, as school board members, we don't do the day-to-day operation of schools. That's the superintendent and their staff. Our job is to work as a team with the superintendent and help put in policies and procedures that make this a viable school system. As a board member, I see my role as encouragement to teachers to listen. I don't make the decisions, but I need to be able to listen and then carry that information to the superintendent so that that superintendent can act on the information and check both sides of the information that I'm giving. A lot of times you only hear one side, and most times it's three. There's this side and this side, and then the truth is in the middle somewhere. So you have to research it and look at it, but you have to act on it. And I think you have to listen. And that's one good thing that I'm excited about our new superintendent candidate, is that I really see that he's a listener. He researches, he acts on information, he knows how to look at data and use that before he starts changing everything. So I think you'll see somebody that knows how to work with the staff and come together as a team to build an improvement plan school by school.
You mentioned the new superintendent that you folks had just announced.
Yeah. Now,
three of the five school board seats are up for election this year. Why wouldn't it be fairer just to hire an interim superintendent before hiring a permanent one after the school board elections?
Well, we started this process before anybody had qualified to do anything. We have an obligation to move forward with decisions. Even if there's three comes off the board, we're still sitting there for months. And it's not responsible for us to just sit back and do nothing. We advertised, we had good candidates, and we interviewed. Certainly, if the new board members come in, they can make decisions and directions as they see best as a board. But this total board felt like that it was important to move forward and have an answer there so that the staffs are not sitting all spring and all summer until January and then start the process, and then you'll go another 6 to 8 months without having anybody. That's not fair to the staff or the kids or to the county. And I think we have done a responsible job with this. We had some good candidates, and I think the board members worked to try to find that best candidate. You never know until somebody shows up on the job, whether it's a school superintendent or somebody works at the radio station. Interviews are wonderful. You do background checks. You talk to people that know them and worked with them. But until that person gets on the job, you don't really know how they're going to act. But I think we've done our homework and feel very comfortable that this person is going to be good for our school district.
A vote on the special purpose local option sales tax, or SPLOST, in Bartow County is coming up this year. Why or why aren't you in favor of it?
Well, I think a splosh is good. Years ago, when I was superintendent and came in as superintendent, we didn't have splosh. We had 150 portable classrooms. It had been years since anything had been able to be done to our buildings. We had to pass a bond referendum where you pay interest on money. The taxpayers pay interest on that money to be able to get something to do to help our facilities. With the splosh, everybody gets help, not just the taxpayers. If you're in California and you come into Bartow County and buy something, you get the help. And so I think that's as fair a tax as there is. Am I in favor of all the other taxes? No. I think there's a fair way to tax people so that everybody's treated fairly. But the splosh to me is about as fair a tax as you can get. If you don't want to pay it, you don't buy. I mean, it's as simple as that. The difficulty with the splosh is that locally we don't have control of that collection. All over the state of Georgia, all of that money goes into the state and they determine what comes back to the local counties. We had issues here a number of times of where our money for a truck stop, tax money, a very busy truck stop, went to Barrow County and not Bartow County. And we like to have never got that fixed. There's no revealing of how much money is collected from Bartow County versus what's coming back to Bartow County. And of course, that's a legislative thing that they have to correct down there. But I feel like we've been responsible in using the money. I think that's the reason the voters have voted on it time and time again to say yes. They want to see you taking care of what they have paid for. That's the reason I'm a big person that if you're going to build a building, you need to maintain it and keep it maintained so that most of your taxpayers don't go in those buildings. They see them from the outside. You maintain those facilities and keep them up so you don't have to keep going back to ask to fix this one again and fix this one again. You do your job as staff to ensure that those facilities are kept up.
Now, I know this hasn't been the case, but if for some reason the SPLOST doesn't pass, why would or wouldn't you be willing to raise the millage rate?
Because we're sitting at almost 19. just to provide materials and teachers for students. There wouldn't be enough money there. That's the reason I told you when we did it as a bond referendum, and then in a couple of years we were able, when the splash came along, to do that and pay off that bond referendum, then you had the money. But we couldn't tax enough because buildings this day and time, you're talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars to build a facility that has to meet the state guidelines for children to be housed in. So I think it'd be very difficult to do anything with buildings and school buses, those kind of technology, those kind of things that you can use that money for. You can't pay for salaries. You can't pay for the day-to-day operations of the schools. I think it'd be very difficult to keep up with what needed to be done if you didn't have the splash.
Now, the Bartow County School District has paid $251,000 to settle whistleblower lawsuit filed by a former administrator alleging that she was retaliated against after she reported sexual harassment within the school district. A previous lawsuit filed by another former administrator against the school system was settled for $185,000. Now, my understanding is the insurance the school system has through the Georgia School Boards Association paid both. Now, as a board member, how would you assess the way that you handle it?
I'm very opposed to the payoff plan. I think if you've done your homework as a school district, the administration has crossed their T's and dotted their I's. Anybody can sue this day and time. If you don't believe it, just walk in the parking lot and trip. It's your own fault, but somebody's going to get sued. School systems are not... they're just like any other business or entity. They can be sued for any reason. Does it mean because a suit is filed that there was something done wrong? No, it does not. My stand, as other people serve on the board stand, was the cases should have gone to trial. But we were faced from the insurance company that if you move forward and we don't settle, then it's going to be your liability and your payments from that point forward. And these cases can go for years and years and years before they're ever completely settled. So you have to pay lawyers and court costs to keep all that going. And they felt that to their advantage, they didn't want to pay that even though the case was clearly winnable. I think we should have gone to court. I think it should have been put out there so the public would know what the cases were about and were not about. We can't tell. I can't tell you today about those because we are bound not to be able to do that. But I think both of those situations should have been carried to court. And then if the school system did something that the board did not realize they had done, then that tells us that we've got to fix some things. But based on the information that we had from the attorneys, both of those were cases that should have never gone anywhere.
And as a school board member, what could you do to prevent these kind of occurrences from happening?
I wish to say I could say there was a way to prevent it. But there will be more regardless of who's on the board, especially if you have a track record of paying off. They see it as, hey, I'll just claim discrimination, I'll claim sexual assault, I'll claim this, and they're going to pay me so that it don't go anywhere. I think that they'll always be there. I think as a school district, you have to make sure your administration knows the law, that they follow the law, that they dot their I's and cross their T's when it comes to staff. When there's an issue, you don't let it drag out. You deal with it immediately, and you get the assistance that you need to deal with that issue, and that you treat people fairly. I think that's a key. If a person feels like they're being treated different than the other two teachers down the hall by a staff member, that's not a positive environment. Now, you can't make everybody happy, just like a school board can't make everybody happy. A principal can't. But you can certainly be fair and open so that people see you're treating Johnny the same way you're treating Susie when it comes to different issues in operating in the schools. And I think that's our key. I think that's do your homework, be consistent about doing your homework, treat people with dignity and respect. I had to terminate people. Some of them were good, close friends, and it's a terrible situation, but you don't try to kill them. You treat them with dignity and respect and help them go out the door and hopefully find something else to do with their life. Not everybody's made to work in the school system, and you have to realize who those people are and give them the support and training they need, and then when they're not the person, be the man or woman that steps up to the plate and does your documentation and helps them move on to find what it is in their life that they need to be working on.
A big problem in education throughout the country seems to be a constant decline in parent engagement with their child's education and school experience. So as a board member, what can you do to try to combat that in Bartow County?
It just didn't happen. It's been building for a number of years, and you see it in every avenue. It's just not education. You see, we've raised a generation or two of in the effort of people, parents trying to make a better life for their kids than they had. I think we went overboard and thought we had to provide them everything and with no effort on their part. Now we have those folks as parents and grandparents. And they're going to bring up their children the way they were brought up. So we've got to try to change the focus to not putting blame on people, but how can we work together as a school system to help parents know how to parent? Because there's nothing out there teaching them how to do that. And if you weren't taught that way growing up, then you don't have anything to model after. So they're just pulling at the wind, and eventually they just get so frustrated they throw up the hands. And it's easy to say, well, the school will take care of it. They're supposed to be the parents too, but that's not their responsibility. I think that we've got to continue to try to make more avenues where the schools and the parents can work together as a team, helping them and training them how they can help their children at home and not wait till middle school and high school. You've got to do it in kindergarten and pre-K so that you can begin to help them formulate. Most parents won't to do the best they can. They just don't know how. And after they make some mistakes, then they're so frustrated they don't know what else to do and they want to throw up the hands. We've got to work as a team. This is a community. A school is part of that community, and we have to do our part in helping our parents be the very best they can. And then in turn, they have to support those teachers and help them do the best job they can.
Now, the last time there was a contested Bartow school board election, voter turnout in that general election was less than 47%. So how can you convince people, how can you galvanize people and say, you know what, you should actually care who is sitting on your local school board?
That's true, and it's sad. I do all the door knocking myself. I think the voters out there need to see that individual face-to-face and know that that person cares enough about doing this that they're going to come and knock on my door. To date, I've knocked on over 2,500 doors myself, and that means day after day after day. Will that get me elected? Won't know until we see who goes out and votes. Sometimes you don't catch people at home and you can leave them something. I've gone back a couple of times and tried to catch people at home. I just think that you have to get the message out there that we need you to vote, whether you're a senior citizen or you're in your 20s or you're in your 50s. It's important that you vote at every election, whether it's school board or not. But of all the races that will impact your community and your family the most, the school board is it. We don't make the day-to-day decisions, but we can certainly have an influence in helping move the system in the right direction. We won't ever arrive. If somebody tells you their school district has arrived, you don't need to believe them, because there's always continual improvement that needs to be there. I train future principals and superintendents through the Berry College program. And what I drive home to them day after day after day is you can't sit in your office. You have to be out in that building, in the classrooms, so you know what's going on. And those teachers and students and parents know you know what's going on because you've been out there. And you can look then at the data and look at your teachers and see how to help your teachers improve, because every single one of them have not arrived. Every single one of them needs a way to improve, whether they've been there 30 years or they've been there 3 years. They all have an area that they need to improve on. And as an administrator, you've got to help identify that and help them with a plan.
Now, in our conversation, are there any important issues or topics that you feel need to be addressed that we haven't addressed at this point?
Well, we've talked about student performance, and we've talked about safety in the schools, and we've talked about the tax issue. We need to talk about business and industry moving into the community. People think that because this company moves here that Bartow County gets the taxes off of it. That varies. They may be annexed into the city of Cartersville, which Bartow County schools get zero from. They may get a delay on their taxes for 3 to 5 years, which means they pay no school taxes for those years. So it's multiple plans that are offered to attract business and industry here. We've even had one to ask for 25 years exemption, which would bring a lot of people here that we would have to educate their children and grandchildren. And that's not right. That's not fair to the rest of the taxpayers, those people that lived and worked here year after year and don't get that break, that somebody else moves in and gets that break. That's not fair. I think we want to be attractive to business and industry. We want them to come to Bartow County, but I want them to come here because of the community and the environment, not just because they can get less tax money they have to pay. And that we'll have a workforce ready for them. That's what I'm excited about the College and Career Academy. We have got some major industries working hand in hand with us there, helping students be ready when they leave high school. They're ready for a job. We've got colleges coming there and teaching kids, so they're able to get college credit or vocational college credit before they ever leave high school, and that costs them and their parents a whole lot less money to get advanced education. So I'm excited about that, and I hope that continues to grow. Our community business leaders have just been tremendous in supporting that aspect of it.
Any closing statements you'd like to throw out there?
Well, I just ask that people, when they consider the candidates for the school board, that you look at the total picture. You don't look at one issue, that you find out what that candidate truly believes about that issue, not what somebody else told you or made you believe, but that you truly look at the candidates and what they have to offer. And I encourage folks to check me out. I've been an open book.
Do applaud you for the courage it takes to put yourself in the public eye with your service on the school board and your continued willingness to serve. And thanks a lot for joining me here.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And again, that was Davis Nelson running as the incumbent for the District 2 of the Bartow County School Board. Thanks for listening.